You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode. Great to have you here. This episode, we're talking all about imposter syndrome, and I've got a fantastic guest to help us do exactly that, to explore exactly what imposter syndrome is and what you can do about it. My guest today is Sam Pierce, formerly a commercial graphic designer with over 20 years of corporate design experience, both in the UK and Canada. Sam started applying her passion for typography and layout to the art of books way back in 2012. And since then, she's been involved in the design and publication of over 40 books, encompassing a wide range of genres from business guides and self-help books to children's stories and fantasy fiction. Sam started SWOT Books as a means of helping independent authors to get their work self-published professionally, affordably, and ethically. Sam now lives on the Hampshire coast, beautiful part of the country, with her wonderful husband, Nathan. That's my guest today, Sam. Hey, Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Keith. How are you?
I am fabulous as always. Thank you. Fabulous as always. Great to have you with us. We've heard a little bit of your bio, but who is Sam? We'll get Sam going. Who is Sam?
So Sam is basically a bookworm and just all-round art lover, and the fact that I've been able to find a career path that allows me to enjoy, you know, both of those passions together is just amazing. And for me to be able to help authors achieve lifelong ambitions is just absolutely priceless, and I love it and wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Fantastic. Now, as I mentioned in the intro, today we're talking about imposter syndrome. And I know this is a topic that you are passionate about, both in terms of imposter syndrome for authors and also imposter syndrome across any industry, because we were having a chat just before we came on air. And as you pointed out, imposter syndrome is something that pretty much every person faces or has faced at some point in their life.
Definitely.
I guess the first question is, what is imposter syndrome?
Well, imposter syndrome is that feeling of you kind of feel like a fraud, that you know you're waiting for somebody to knock on the door and say, "Ha, when we caught you out, you can't actually do what you say you do," and it's that feeling of, you know, thinking that I've only been doing something for, you know, so long, or I'm just starting out with something new. I can't really label myself as an expert. And it makes you hesitate before you go and do it, to stand up in public and say, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I can do. And it prevents a lot of people from, you know, writing that book or starting a new venture or, you know, launching a new product or, you know, doing something new and exciting. And it's a shame when people hold back from those things simply from a feeling that 9 times out of 10 isn't actually based in reality.
Mm. So do you think it's true that everybody has or has faced imposter syndrome at some point in their life?
I genuinely think so, yes. A lot of people may think, oh, well, I haven't, and it could just be that they might have not labeled it as imposter syndrome, or they may not have even admitted to themselves that there was an issue. Some people just, you know, naturally fight their way through it and do the thing that they want to do anyway. But at some point, there's always that little niggle, that little bit of self-doubt of, should I be doing this? And that's what I personally label as imposter syndrome. It's the imp on the back, on your back, that kind of, you know, holds you back from doing something.
Oh yeah, I think we can all resonate with that, suddenly had that voice in the back of my mind far too many times. It's especially at times when I've thought, hey, I'm over imposter syndrome now, and then you find, oh, here I am, straight back in it.
Yes, and then that's a really interesting point, because so many authors that I know, they can be, you know, experienced authors. They could have, you know, written 5-6 books, and every single new book that goes to publication, during that period where they finish writing before it goes ill, there is always that, you know. So, you know, it's something that even if you deal with once, there is a good chance that you're going to deal with it again. But the good thing is, it does get easier.
Got it. That is reassuring to know, at least, that it gets easier. If we are facing it again, at least it's not going to be as hard as the last time.
Yeah.
So I guess something you mentioned there was that some people have it without kind of labeling it or even realizing that's what it was. So how would we know we've got imposter syndrome? What's kind of the symptoms, the signs to look out for?
Well, and it's just that little seed of doubt. It's that, you know, that second guessing yourself as to whether, you know, what you want to do or people attack me on social media for, you know, writing about what I've written about. So it's all those little doubts, those little niggles that, you know, can pile up to eventually, you know, preventing you from doing it in the first place.
Got it. So where do you think where does imposter syndrome come from? Why have we got it?
I know, I've actually been doing quite a bit of research into this recently, and the common, you know, consensus that I've found is that it comes out of something called pluralistic ignorance. And what that basically means is that we will, whenever we second guess ourselves, we always do it in private. We never air those, you know, concerns publicly. But because everybody's doing the same thing, everybody is having, you know, those same doubts, and everybody is keeping it private, you automatically think that it's just you. You know, that you're the only one who's having these doubts, so it must be a problem with you. Even though probably everybody at some point has had the exact same experience. And I think that has got a lot to do with it.
All right, so basically, because we all suffer it in silence, none of us realize that we've all got
everybody
it.
Everybody's suffering with it. Yeah, exactly.
Goodness.
So, you know, the biggest cure for it is talk about it. You know, obviously not with everybody, but, you know, with particular people that you trust, especially somebody that you admire and look up to, because if you have the conversation with them, ask them for their feedback and their opinion. A lot of the times they will say that, you know, I've experienced the same thing. And if it's somebody that you admire and you think, oh, well, if they've experienced it, then, you know, it's nothing out of the ordinary for me to do it. They've been, you know, successful despite it. Then it, you know, it just makes it so much easier to get past.
Gotcha. So basically talk about it. Don't keep it yourself. Talk about it.
Yeah.
As you were saying that, it was bringing to mind, that's kind of the basis of at least half of Shakespeare's tragedies, sort of shouting at the, almost shouting at the, look, talk about it for goodness sake, and the whole thing disappears, resolved. Maybe life is just one giant Shakespearean tragedy. All right, so what can we do? What can we do to kind of, well, I guess the first question is, can we eliminate imposter syndrome completely, or is it just something that we have to acknowledge and find ways to manage and cope with?
Yeah, I don't think it's something that we're ever going to get rid of completely, because it's human nature to, you know, second guess and wonder if what we're doing is the right thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are some steps that I share with my authors that, you know, really, really helps them get through. Obviously, the first one is to have that conversation, you know, talk to somebody that you trust and get their feedback as to what it is that you want to do is, you know, of value. The next thing that I suggest to people is to own your successes. As people, we are so good at concentrating on the negative that a lot of the times we actually don't sit and recognize the positive things that we've done. So what I started doing a little while ago was to keep an accomplishments list. So anything that I achieve, anything that any positive testimonials that I get, any little nugget of positivity that somebody says about me will go into this collection of stuff. And whenever I'm having, you know, doubts about something, or, you know, I've got stage fright, or, you know, even little things like that, I'll just go through and just, you know, skim through it and just remind myself that, okay, yes, I'm, you know, I may be struggling at the minute, but look at all of these wonderful things that I have done. And truly, you know, be conscious of listening out for those compliments and really internalizing them and actually hearing them. Because a lot of the times when somebody pays us a compliment, it's just, oh, thank you very much, and we don't really internalize it. So, you know, taking a second to note it and save it somewhere for future reference just helps you really, really absorb that, yes, okay, this person has said something positive about me and thinks that what I do has value. So that really, really helps. The third thing, and to be honest, this seems to be more of a thing that helps more of my British clients than some of my North American clients. British culture is synonymous with the reserved stiff upper lip. You know, it's celebrating our wins and, you know, giving the high fives and all that. It's typically a more American thing. So a lot of, you know, British authors that I speak to, they struggle with that whole concept of celebrating something that they've done. You know, the pat on the back feels a little disingenuous. It feels a little, you know, self-centered and egotistical, and, you know, it's not really us. But what I find helps is to externalize that. Imagine that you're talking about somebody else. It's a friend of yours that is celebrating this experience, or it's a friend of yours that is, you know, struggling with self-confidence and wondering whether or not I should do this. What advice would you give to your friend? What would you say to them to celebrate their success? And, you know, by externalizing it, it helps you to be a little bit more objective and gives you just that slightly separated perspective on what you yourself might be thinking or feeling.
I love that. So basically you're kind of stepping out and becoming a dispassionate third party involver, which I guess means it takes the ego out of the way. It takes the self-doubt, takes the emotion, takes all of that out of the way. Oh, yeah. That is beautiful.
And when, you know, when we're our own worst critics.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it's us that we're talking about, we're always going to be that much harsher on ourselves. We're always going to be that less forgiving. But when it's somebody else, well, you want to be altruistic. You want to be helpful. You want to be supportive. A lot of us kind of miss the idea that we really should be that altruistic and supportive of ourselves as well.
Yeah. Yes. Treat ourselves the way that we would approach others. Yeah.
But it's hard. It really is hard. Yeah. Because we are our own worst critic.
Oh yes. And especially as you say with the British culture of reserved and all that sort of thing. Yeah. And don't shout about it. Don't show off.
No.
Yeah. So just going back to what one of the things you said there was when people pay us compliments, take a point to actually internalize it and accept it.
Yeah.
How can we do that? I'm thinking back to some experiences I used to have years gone by. I would do something and somebody would pay me what was a genuine compliment. And I know I said, oh, thank you. That's very nice of you to say all the usual stuff. But I know inside there was that part of me that was going, oh, they're just saying that to be nice. But really, what I did was rubbish. I know it was rubbish. They're just being nice. But yeah, we both know it's rubbish. How do you kind of get over that bit?
It is difficult. And what I found is that it really does take practice. You know, and again, going back to the fact that we're our own worst critic, when we instantly think then the worst of, you know, ourselves, where we will always pick out the mistakes that we made. Whereas other people looking in, 9 times out of 10, they don't see the mistake because they weren't privy to the way it was supposed to be to begin with.
Yes.
They don't even realize that it's a mistake.
Yes.
So, you know, it's something that I've certainly learned since I've been doing a lot more public speaking, a lot more, you know, sort of public engagements. It makes me realize that, you know, I'm the only one who knows how it's supposed to go. It's perfectly fine to wing it. And if the response that I get back is positive, it was positive for them. That's all that matters.
That is a brilliant point. It goes back to something that that I teach people when I'm delivering speaker training. The number of people, they go, I forgot to say this, or I was supposed to go 1, 2, 3, and I went 1, 3, 2. I'm rubbish. It's like, look, as you say, you are the only person who knows how the speech was planned. The talk you gave went down well. People got things from it. People have learned from it. It's a good talk.
Yeah.
And it's the same for any compliment. When somebody pays us a compliment, we're always comparing what we did against what we planned to do, which is never going to be perfect.
No.
Whereas for the person receiving it, they got stuff from it. They enjoyed it. So accept that, hey, yes, I'm not perfect. I'm human. Wow. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily deliver it the way I intended to, but they got something out of it. That is good. I've positively helped somebody. I've been a positive influence in their day.
Mm. And then a lot of imposter syndrome does come back to this fear of what if I get it wrong? What if I make a mistake?
Yes.
And, you know, the more you realize that in, you know, particularly in certain situations like that, where the other person may not notice that there is even a mistake at all.
Yeah.
You know, it just means that, you know, just reinforces that a lot of imposter syndrome is completely in our own head and in our own way. And if we just get past it, then, you know, we can, you know, grow and develop and do these amazing things that are going to help other people. And, you know, being able to accept compliments and really, you know, listen to them and really hear them is all going to help in build up your arsenal to be able to fight against, you know, an imposter syndrome when it does come up. And, you know, and as we said at the beginning, or as I mentioned at the beginning, it, you know, just because you fight it once, it does come back.
Yeah.
But the more you build up, you know, these bits that you can use to remind yourself of, okay, I may be feeling it, but it's not actually true, the easier it does get.
I get you. Yeah. And I guess don't beat yourself up about not being perfect because none of us are.
Yeah.
It's interesting, your point you mentioned about where we're scared. What if we make a mistake? But again, you'll see so many performers. I mean, I'm thinking of like stand-up comedians and so on. There, oftentimes they'll forget where they are in their set, or they'll make a mistake or whatever. And they don't panic about it. They just acknowledge it, and sometimes they even turn it into an even bigger joke and part of the routine.
Yeah,
and people love them because it's showing the human side. And I guess we love it when somebody makes maybe a little mistake, because we can relate with that, and we can say, I'm not the only one, and they got through it. And I guess even there, we're showing people it's okay, and we're giving them
exactly
another night. I like that. Love it.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, obviously you work predominantly with authors, with what you do. Is there any one single tip that you give your authors? I'm thinking particularly about ones who are going, oh, well, I'd like to write a book, but who am I to write the book? Nobody's going to want to read what I've got.
Yeah. Yeah. That is probably the most common question or, you know, doubt that I hear from authors. Who am I to write a book on this?
Yeah.
And then the comment that I always come back with for that exact comment is, who are you not to? Even if you are writing about something that has been written about a million times and there are, you know, thousands of books on the exact same subject, nobody's perspective is going to be yours, because mm-hmm. your life experiences, the way that you've learned the information that you have, is as unique to you as a fingerprint. And it could be that the one person who really needs the help and advice and support that you can give can only learn it through the way you tell it. Two people can tell you the exact same piece of information. You're not going to get the same thing out of both of them.
Yeah,
and it could be that, you know, people need to hear your version in order to get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a kind of an offshoot of that, and a bit that usually comes after that statement of who am I to write a book. I've only been doing something for X number of years. Something that my coach and also yours, Brad Burton, says is an expert is someone who has made a mistake or made all the mistakes in any given field. As long as you learn from the mistakes that you make, you are the expert, because you've made those mistakes. You know how to get past them. So therefore, you can advise people on how not to make the same mistakes that you did.
Yeah. There is definitely something to be said for learning from other people's mistakes.
Yeah.
It's certainly a shortcut. Yeah. I love that.
And of course, but, you know, if you've made that mistake and you don't share that mistake with others, you're not helping them. So you
should
write
the book. Very true. Very true. And of course, that whole thing that you said doesn't just apply to authors. It applies to,
no.
applies to all everyone. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything that you want to do that has value to the, you know, the greater public around you, then don't let imposter syndrome hold you back, because you're essentially robbing these other people of your experiences and the benefit of what you've learned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess the answer to who am I to share this is, who are you to selfishly not let other people learn from your experiences?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam, it has been an absolute blast having a chat. I've learned a lot. I know our listeners and viewers will have got a lot from this as well. For those who want to find out more about Sam, find out more about what you do, maybe even take that first step towards getting their own experiences down in a book, what's the best way to find out more or to connect with Sam?
The best way to get to me is through Facebook. So I'm on Facebook as SWAT Books. That's SWAT Books. And you can send me messages, PM, or book a consultation with me through there.
Fantastic. So that's SWAT Books, SWAT Books on Facebook. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Of course, Sam is also all over social media and websites, all sorts of things. As always, all the links and more information about Sam, what she does, are all available on the page with the show notes for this episode. You'll get that the usual place, keithblakemorenoble.com/show. Look for the one with Sam Pierce. You'll find all of Sam's details there. But if you want to just dive straight in, and hey, why wouldn't you? Find Sam on Facebook, SWAT Books, SWAT Books on Facebook. Sam, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join me on this and to share with us a little bit about imposter syndrome. It has been a very interesting chat. I'm sure we'll... Cool. I'm sure we'll have you back at some point in the future for more. I know there's a lot more that we can always talk about. Dear viewer, dear listener, thank you for joining us. If you like this, please like it, subscribe, rate us, leave a comment, share it with your friends, and we'll catch you in the next episode. And until then, I'm going to leave you with a fantastic quote, which Sam shared with us during this. It is from Sam's mentor and my mentor, Brad Burton. And it is that an expert is someone who has made all the mistakes in a particular field.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.